about what you did, and if you have any comments or any question about anything else, this is really wide open. Yes.
Well, I certainly notice when I get focused on something or tense around it. I find it after when I notice it, I'm often quite far forward and curled around it, and I have to like coming back up again helps me to let go of it.
Yeah, I think this is in a way one way to see if we bring in tension, I would say physiologically, that actually we put our efforts through the body. And so then I think it's very useful in the meditation, time to time, to just check, how am I holding my body? And so for some people, it might be like you kind of tense, curl around the thing. Me, I notice it's my jaw suddenly clenched. Other people might notice a shoulder or different part of the body. So it can be useful in a way, time to time, to check, kind of like, how am I holding the body, or how does it become? Because generally we start like this. And then I think it's kind of time to time, like once or twice during especially a sitting meditation, I think it can be useful to whatever you are doing in terms of the anchor, just checking, how is the body? Is there kind of like more a relaxed feeling, or is it more a tense feeling? I think it's good to check. And then, so we are sitting still, but we're not immobile. And I think in a way, this is an important part, not that we move every second, but that time to time we might relax, or we might be we might bring a little more uprightness, or whatever it is, to kind of help. Yeah.
The theme of today's talk is effort, effortless effort. And from getting up in the morning, obviously there are a number of tasks that one goes through during the day. And in one's lifetime, there are so many decisions one has to make. My question to you is, in an effortless effort, even to get up is an effort. Sometimes there comes a stage and say, why bother? Whatever is going to happen will happen. It's all God's wish, if you are religious ones. My thought is that how do you avoid not making any effort at all? I appreciate your
Sure, no, it's like
of course,
because in a way you can have this side which can be too much tension. And then there is can be this side, which in a way you could say too much vagueness, too much kind of, you could sometimes too much space or not enough energy. So I think in a way what is interesting to look at in terms of that, in terms of like, when is it that there is not enough effort? Because in a way this is what you're talking about. And then it can be not enough effort because you don't feel like it. This is an interest, but if you don't feel like it, it's interesting to notice, and that's why I think the mindfulness is very useful. Is it because I'm really tired? You know, like you kind of feel like, and I like I travel to teach abroad. Not I don't teach where I live, but abroad. So what I have learned is that before I used to go and teach wherever, and then I used to come back. And before I came back, I used to think, well, I'm coming back on Monday, on Tuesday, I have this to do, that to do, on Wednesday, I have this to do, that to do. And then I would wake up on Tuesday and I was like, you know, and I, you know, whatever the plan had been, there was really no energy for it. And so then I learned, in a way, to listen to my body, to see that for the first 2 days after traveling, actually I could do a few things, but I could not do any major things because there was not enough energy. And then what was interesting was that after 2 or 3 days, then suddenly it's like a button is switched off. And then again, I feel like myself. And so, personally, because of the way my life is, I have the opportunity that for 2 days, I can do a little less and just do what really has to be done. But not everybody has this luxury, in a way, I would say. I'm very lucky that way. So what I had to do over time is accept I don't have the same level of energy all the time. And according to my level of energy, I will be able to do certain things or not. So I think we have to see, does it come from actually the amount of energy we have in the body, physiologically, in a way? And then how do I creatively engage with that? Because you could do nothing at all, but then if you do too much nothing at all, you get even less energy. So it's in a way, what is the minimum? What I look at is, what is the minimum I can do? And then I do that. Then you have, when you don't, you could say you don't feel like it, in terms of meaning. And that's very interesting, because then this becomes, one could nearly say, more psychological. It's like, in order to feel, yes, I am going to do this, there need to be this kind of enthusiasm. So in a way, how much enthusiasm do you need to do anything? And sometimes you feel you need a lot of enthusiasm to do anything. And that's really tricky. So in a way, then I think you have the enthusiasm or the responsibility. Let's say me and my taxes. I have to input everything by hand. It's kind of the way I do my thing. And to do it, I do it 2 or 3 times a year to put my paper into order. I kind of write everything and everything. And I have to really kind of convince myself, you know, I need to do it now. So I need to prepare myself to find, in a way, meaning in doing this, because I think it can wait. We have the year. And then I think, okay, I have to do it. That's the first thing. And then the second thing I need is good conditions. I can't do it if I have 3 other things to do. I need to have an afternoon or a day when I can just do that. So in a way, I have the responsibility to do it. Of course, I need the energy to do it. Then I need to make the condition, find the condition to do it in. And so I think a certain thing, we also have to look at that. Not only the energy we have, then the meaning it has or not, but also within those conditions, is there any hope of doing it? Because if you think, oh, la, la, I can't do it between 5 other things, then you're not going to do it. You're going to think, I really can't do it. But then how long can you not do it? And how do you create also the condition or wait for the condition to be perfect? This is also a little bit the difficulty with that. Or you could be, and that I think is the most difficult, is when you really feel, you wake up with a certain heaviness. Like if you're a little depressed for various reasons, then it's kind of like, and then that can really, in a way, takes you over. And then it's very hard to come from that. So that's what I'll look a little bit this afternoon. Is looking in a way at the effort or no effort and within the condition. And then you have the inner condition and then you have the outer condition. Also, I feel it's partly, you could say, physiological sometimes, because some people have just more energy than others. I mean, Margaret Thatcher was famous for only sleeping 3 hours and then she was like, you know, she seemed to have lots of energy. Some people are like that. They don't need to sleep much, and they just have lots of energy. And then you might think these people, they're always doing something. And then you have other people who have much lower level of energy physiologically, and so for them to do something is much harder. I think I don't think we're all equal in terms of that. And then, of course, and this is a kind of a difficult question. And in the text, the Buddha talks about that. And it's laziness. Because you could say, well, what about efforting and then laziness? You know? And the Buddha, in one text, it's wonderful, because he says, you know, somebody who is lazy will say, oh, it's too late, it's too early, it's too cold, it's too warm, you know. And so in a way, but then it's again, then you wonder, is it just the person in general doesn't want to do anything? Is it a question of meaning? Is it a question of energy? Is it a question of temperament? Some people don't like to do much. I mean, can they do little? That's a question financially, you know. Then, you know, you're not only called financially. Some people, if they have enough finances, can do not very much and it's fine. And some others have to do a lot because of finances. So I think when, in terms of the question of not doing enough, it's really complex. The same as with doing too much, it's very complex in terms of what's going on. And so in a way, bringing, if that's the case, in terms of the vagueness, the energy, the meaning, etc., is kind of bringing the mindfulness to that. And then it's looking at how can I help myself if I need to do more than what I do anyway. That's always a question. With the level of energy I have, can I do enough in order to sustain myself and others, so to speak? And what is it that's, in a way, going to give me a little more? So it's this is also part of the thing, of course. Yes. Exactly. And this is a very good point. And this is what each of us, according to our conditions, will have to deal with in a way. Because it's really trial and error. I think it's important to see that the effortless effort will really depend on conditions. That is not a kind of a constant effortless effort. My teacher used to say, when we meditate, we should be like hen hatching eggs. And so he was telling us, you know, you have the little hen sitting on the eggs, and then you would imagine that the only thing you need is the heat of the mother hen on the eggs. But he said, no, she has to move them around. If she has a few, she has to move the one at the bottom who are colder to the top, who are warmer, and vice versa. So she's sitting, look like she's sitting still, but actually with her little leg, she's doing something. So personally, I thought, is this true, you know? But seemingly it's true. If you have enough egg, that's what they'll do. So in a way, what he was saying is that it's according to conditions. So in a way, very likely when we have an illness or we have a physical difficulty, then in a way we have to learn what is it I really cannot do. Because if I do that, it hurts me. And so that's not a good idea. So in a way, this is the first thing we have to learn, like what is danger, and then we have to, in a way, renounce doing it. What is it I can do most of the time and which will be fine and actually will be helpful? But possibly at certain time, if I am too tired, I won't be able to do it. But it doesn't mean I cannot do it all the time. But I can do it some of the time. So time to time, I will do it. But then being a little aware of the condition when I cannot. Because this is what in a way we're looking at here is also the consequences of doing too much or the consequences of doing too little. Because if you do too little, you have not enough exercise. If you do too much, then you become too tired. And so it's kind of like finding the balance, which will be very much according to conditions. That, and so in a way, this is what you learn yourself, because each person is a little different. So in a way, that's where the mindfulness is kind of what I call creative engagement. And though sometimes you get it right, very likely for a few weeks you get it right, you know, right amount of not doing, right amount of doing, right amount of little mental activity, and it feels, oh yeah, I have got a balance now. And then generally something happens. Either you are ill, either you have guessed, either something happened. And then, because of different conditions, the balance goes in a way. And then you have to start again, you know? And I think this is kind of like what I think this is about. That's what I would call creatively engaged with conditions. And so that's why I want to talk about this afternoon, actually, effort in terms of conditions. That's what we'll look at. Yes? Sure. I think this is, in a way, here you have two things which happen. One thing is what I would call our good intention. Generally, we have a good intention. So generally, we want to do the best we can within the situation. So generally, we have, generally that's what we've told. You know, do the best. Be the best, try hard. You know, we have this idea of that. Then there can be also influences when some people might say, oh, you're not good enough. You must do better. And then there is also our own, what I would call abstraction. What is, in a way, our baseline? Our baseline in terms of, you could say, achievement, that something really was done well. What is our baseline? How do we view that? And then also, what is our hope? So you see, the question would be, if there is some perfectionism, what is it based upon? Is it based upon certain kind of a physiological automatism? I must try so hard, I must, you know, meditate 10 hours a day all the time, and then, you know, we'll get there. So in a way, the perfectionism go more into the intensity of how you work. And it's seemingly nowadays, I mean, I'm not sure if it's continuing, but there was this idea that to show that you were a good worker, it was not so much what you did in the day, it was about that you were the last one to leave the office, regardless of what you'd done. Not regardless, but, you know, and then the fact that you stayed late showed, in a way, your perfection in terms of that. When personally I would kind of have looked more, kind of, you know, can you do the thing within the time you have? In Korea, we used to sit for simple. That was like ordinary schedule, 10 hours a day. And then you would go up to 12, 14, I mean, not at one time, but 50 minutes, 5-0, and then 10 minutes walking throughout the day. And one teacher was kind of revolutionary in terms of he was telling in his place you could only sit 8 hours. That's it. You could not sit more. And then he would go around in the evening checking nobody was sitting more. And then when he would find them sitting, you know, in their bedroom, no way, you can't sit anymore. But when they sat their 8 hours, he wanted them to be awake. So it was not about quantity. It was about quality. That's what was very interesting with him. So then, in a way, what is a perfection upon? The quantity, the quality. Then it's looking, how abstract is it? And then that's why I would make the difference between aspiration and expectation. Because aspiration is, you know, like for myself, I want to have more wisdom, to have more compassion. So I'm going to work toward that, cultivate toward that. But it's open-ended, because but it gives me the energy to move towards something. But expectation is saying, I should be always wise regardless, or always compassionate regardless, or I should be compassionate 150%. So in a way, expectation is really setting a certain thing. And so perfectionism could be setting, you know, I must be the best at this, or I must be better than I am at this. This is an interesting one. I must be better. What does it mean, I must be better? Does it mean I must have less thought? Does it mean, often it means that, you know, you should not be angry ever, regardless of whatever happens. So what I would look at is, because the perfectionism is just a creative function. I think it's important to want to do a good job, to want to do something well. I think it's just kind of nearly like an evolution mechanism. That's the reason we kind of like still here. Previously, people thought, oh, maybe we could try this, maybe we could try that, let's do a good job here. Let's find, you know, the best thing to eat. So this is just kind of a natural propelling mechanism. And then is kind of what is the shape of it? And how does it become, you could nearly say, an hindrance? That in a way you, then what happens is often you match an abstract notion, which then becomes permanent, to conditions which are experiential and impermanent. That's a little bit the problem, I would say, is what does the perfection reside in? Is it an image or is it an intensity? I think, what shape does it take? So in a way, bring the mindfulness to that. And then to see, when is it a habit which is harmful, and when is it a creative function which gives me energy? Yes. Yeah, no, personally, I think kindness. That's why in the afternoon, I am going to do the guided meditation after lunch, will be on loving kindness. Because I think this is, there is often, you could nearly say this harshness. It's very strange in terms of, you know, spirituality or meditation or whatever, which personally I think is to develop wisdom and compassion. And then, you do it in a harsh way, which is kind of weird, kind of like a little kind of strange. So I think it's back to the efforting. Sometimes if you focus too much on what you set out to do, you forget the attitude in which you do it. A good example for me would be all the charity and NGO who generally have wonderful aims. You know, to help these people or to rescue this or that. And my question is generally, but how do they treat the people they employ? And often it's strange that they have this all this good intention and they might do the thing they do very well and it benefits people. But often it might not necessarily benefit the people who work for the charity. There might be an atmosphere of, but this is so urgent, this is so important, we don't care about your suffering, doing the work, you know, because it's so important. And so personally, I think it's very important to look at the all aspect. It's often what we call the, you have the intention, You have the action and you have the result. So can you have the kindness in the intention? Can you have the kindness in the action? Can there be the kindness in the effect? So that's something I think is important to look at, because when we talk about mindfulness, we're really not talking about just looking more. Because sometimes you might have the impression to be mindful means I become like a radar, basically. I look inside, sometimes outside. But that's not what the mindfulness is about. Mindfulness is actually about helping us to be more in the experience in a certain way. And so that, one of the quality of that is kindness, is caring. That's why I like to call it caring mindfulness. So we do this in a caring way. So I think this is what I think is very important. Because not all tradition are equal, but some tradition are more, like you could say, militaristic. We're going to do this. And only after we really tried so hard, regardless of anything, and even done it in an in-kind way, then we'll get the full kind awakening. So we wait for kindness for after. Personally, I would say, the kindness now. So it's kind of looking at how do we do it. And I think this effortless effort is very much about that. So it's not, because it could be, just a vague, oh, I don't care, who cares? Because you could have an effortless effort, which would be, doesn't matter, who cares? That would not be, I think, the effortless effort I would encourage. I would encourage more like a caring, effortless effort coming out of a caring and kind mindfulness. Anything else?